is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 323. I am Lisa Sheps, and I am joined by co-host and football fan extraordinaire, Ms. Nicole Shiro. You are listening to us on KOOP, Hornsby, Austin, 91.7 FM, streaming live at koop.org. Stick with us. We will be right back.
Show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
We got the beat. Yeah, we got it.
It is Wednesday, August 19th, 2015. On the show today, we have our very dear friends from the City Theater. Their show, Love, Valour, and Their Love, Valour, and Compassion has one more weekend left. We're also joined by Teatro Vivo, talking about their double weekend of Verano and Vivo. And of course, we will have lively discussions of the world of theater in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, London, and Tierra del Fuego. And that was the end of the song. It was like perfectly timed, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
How crazy is that?
That was bananas.
Good morning, Nicole Shiro.
Good afternoon, Lisa Sheps.
It's morning.
Yeah.
I'm checking in with you right away. That's what I have to do.
Well, hello. Hi.
How are you? I'm checking in with you.
I'm really good. I'm tired this week, but I'm good. Football started.
What's up, football? We're going to do the football musical.
Yeah, I know.
J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt. And even more exciting, football's HBO Hard Knocks this year is J.J. Watt and the Houston Texans. So that even makes it a better year of football.
So I love the actually opening to that TV show.
Why
it's a
like
hard
it?
Knocks life for us.
Not quite,
it's a hard knocks life. Thank you, Tracy, and his solo remix. He remixed himself today.
Tracy's awesome.
And we're all in tears. It was so sad. It was such a sad show.
I guess.
Well, it was all sad songs.
I know, but I try not to.
Well, it was
cry.
Sad, so we're crying.
All right.
Let's all cry.
Let me go back and wallow in my tears. Going back to
see,
the
see, there you go. So I want to remind folks that immediately following this show that we produce on the air here at Co-op Radio in Austin, Texas, for those of you who listen to the podcast, and you know, I don't understand why you don't listen to the podcast.
Silly.
You should be listening to the podcast.
Right?
We have our segment Backstage at Offstage, where we get to learn a little bit more about our guests. We don't just talk about the shows.
Now, can I ask a question about our setup today?
We
have
sure.
a third screen. Did we get more hard-hitting news?
Well, see, this shows you how much you have not been paying attention. This screen has been here for about 5 months, 4 months.
Nuh-uh.
Yep.
Has it been covered or to the
yeah.
side?
Well, we're not gonna talk about the hardware here in the
studio. I'm going to pretend it's my glasses.
Okay.
Which you don't have all. That's okay.
So let's introduce who's here in the theater. The theater with us. The station.
It
with
is
us.
Our. It's the theater.
Mr. Scott Papa,
of
welcome
and
back
Shiro.
To the welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
And a newcomer to the show, Ty McLeod. Wait, don't tell me. McLeod.
Close. Don't worry.
Damn, it doesn't even, it's not even spelled that way. Okay. I will continue to call you McLeod, so just be ready. Mr. Kirk Kelso.
Why, thank you. It's good to be here.
Did you notice that I pronounced your name right?
You
for the
did
very
it
first
right.
time. I did it right. And,
that is funny. You have.
I have.
Oh, voila.
And from Teatro Vivo, Dolores Diaz.
Hi, it's good to be here.
It's good to hear. Welcome to Offstage and on the Air.
Thank you.
And Rob Rowland.
Hi, thank you for having me here.
You are quite welcome. So it should be proved to be a fun show. So I have to just say, today started out so poorly for
What's
me.
What's this wonkiness that you've
so
been
here's the wonkiness.
Today?
And this, you know, it is theatrical only in that I have a very diva-ish, if not theatrical, dog named Sophie.
Yes.
We were walking, minding our own business. She was like frolicking in the grass of my neighbors. And all of a sudden, she just let out a roaring scream.
What happened?
And ran. I don't know. And it wouldn't walk on her hind leg. So I freaked out a little bit. I thought, okay, snake.
That's where my mind is going right now. So
I called the vet. They said, just watch her and see what happens. And she wasn't getting any better. So I took her to the vet. And we spent all morning at the vet. Nothing's really wrong with her.
Is she walking okay now?
She's walking okay.
She's gone to the Academy Award winning school that my Ellie has gone to.
Yeah, poor thing. And she was... She just screamed.
That's scary.
So, like a cartoon. You know how in the cartoons the animals like just jump straight up? That's what she did. And then she ran in the air for a while until she stopped and she looked down and she notices and she's in the air and she fell. Like the Roadrunner.
Is she okay?
Or Coyote.
The Coyote.
Cody.
Yeah. So anyway, that was my day. And so the day I was very late in getting ready for this show. But
I'm glad to hear she's doing better, though.
She is.
So
you might have noticed that the song I played didn't seem to be a show tune.
But, well, okay.
But what?
I knew it's a show tune.
What is it?
It's a musical about the Go-Go's.
It's a jukebox musical about the Go-Go's called Head Over Heels.
Yes.
that is in Oregon, oddly enough. And it's written by Jeff Witte, who was one of the people in Avenue Q.
I was like an Avenue Q dude or something. I remember when they announced they were doing this, I got very excited.
Yeah, but nobody is very happy. They didn't get a lot of really good reviews. And I'm trying to figure out where it was. Anyway, it was directed by Ed Sylvanus Iskander, my very good friend.
Iskander?
Iskandar. Iskander.
Iskander.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Starring a Michael Sharon and a Miriam Lau, Bonnie Milligan, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, I just thought it was sort of funny they're doing a jukebox musical about the Go-Go's.
Well.
Who's a Go-Go's fan here?
Oh, raise my hand. Love
the Go-Go's.
Yeah. Right?
They were my first concert ever.
Were they really?
Ever.
That's hilarious. Wow. That's a good one.
I sat the 80s out musically. And I didn't know that music until I did I used to do industrial shows, and that song We Got the Beat they cut a video to it, and I went, oh, that's an interesting song.
Love the Go-Go's.
Yeah. So that's the Go-Go's.
Don't think I've ever
heard of
the Go-Go's.
Wait, say that in the microphone.
Here's our age again.
I don't think I've ever heard of the Go-Go's.
You never heard of the, have you heard that song before? Did you hear it? Okay, because I don't know.
If you've seen a movie, you've heard that song.
Yeah. That's right.
Can't stop.
You need to. I'm going to give you some homework to Google and research the Go-Go's. I think you might be a little surprised you know who they are without knowing who they are.
Well, and they're so nice they name them twice, just like New York. Because they don't only go, they also go. So we'll look forward to that coming to a theater near you. What do you want to talk about?
Oh, you're going to let me go first?
No, sort of. I sort of say I'm going to go. I went first with Go-Go's.
Okay. I'm loving that the Wayne Brady's coming to the Kinky Boots.
Yeah, you know, when you first sent me that, and when I first saw that happen, I said, Wayne Brady doesn't sing, but then of course he does.
Of course he does.
Yeah, I only know him from Whatchamahoojit.
Whose Line It Is Anyway,
but he always does the
he
song.
He always sang, yeah.
Yeah, but he's been on Broadway before.
I know. Oh. I didn't, but at first I went, he didn't, wasn't. It took me for a while. Do you know what else he's done?
He has done Chicago, and I think he was in when Hollywood Bowl did the version of Rent. I think he was in Rent out there. But he played Billy Flynn in Chicago for a good chunk of time.
why did you go yes, Kurt Kelso?
I love Billy Flynn.
Have you've played him?
I played Billy Flynn at the Georgetown Palace.
At the
summer.
Georgetown Palace. We have not had Georgetown Palace on in a while. So yeah, that's
he begins Billy Porter leaves on the 19th and he leaves on the 20th and Wayne Brady starts the next day.
And Kinky Boots is coming here to Austin, Texas.
It is. It is part of the Broadway in Austin tour. It's the
and I believe
second
the tickets went
season.
On sale today.
Yes, they did.
More information, you may visit broadway.austin.com.
No, Broadway in or Broadway in
Broadway.austin.com.
Broadway in
or Austin.broadway. I don't do it that way.
But do you know where Billy Porter's going, right? He's going into a musical with Audra McDonald and Brian Stokes Mitchell and some other interesting folk, but I love the name of it. Shovel Along, or The Making of the Musical Sensation of 1921 and All That Followed.
Wow.
That's a long, hefty title. I don't know a lot about the show, but it sounds interesting. I'll have to look about it. That opens in March. But
well, we did have...
Go Wayne Brady.
Go Wayne Brady. Go Audra McDonald.
Yeah.
She can do no wrong.
She's J.J. Watt. She's a female J.J. Watt on stage.
I was going to totally say that.
She's up there with the Hugh Jackman and J.J. Watt. What can't
they
do?
So when you lived in New York, did you spend much time on the island?
Our which island?
The Hamptons.
No, I'm a Jersey Shore girl. Why would I go to the Hamptons?
Because the Hamptons were all the really cool
you
people.
You obviously haven't been to some parts of the Jersey Shore. There's other things besides what you saw in that
show. I've been all over the Jersey Shore.
And they're quite lovely.
Well, there has been an opening in Sag Harbor. I won Betty Buckley.
Yes.
And I won Rachel York.
Yes.
Doing a one Grey Gardens.
Yes, I know.
Did you read the review?
I did. I have actually printed it, brought it with me. Go
me
figure.
Too. So here it is. And we'll show it to our audience.
Here's a picture.
So Grey Gardens is the story of the Kennedy family. Their one sister that was a little wacky and sort of a recluse in on Long Island in the Hamptons in a rundown mansion with all of her cats.
Big Edie and Little Edie.
That's fantastic.
Big Edie and Little Edie.
You don't know about the great... There's some great documentaries. Grey Gardens.
Like well,
that's your history. I'm giving you homework. Each show gets different homework.
The musical was written about from the documentary, Grey Gardens, which is all about Big Edie and Little Edie that lived in there. And it's part of... it's Jackie Onassis's elderly aunt and middle-aged cousin. And Rachel York plays... They do a double thing.
Yeah, it says two, but she played two parts in here.
Yeah, and that happened on Broadway when it was on Broadway too, and they won the. And I'm trying to remember who it was on Broadway that won.
Didn't get to see it. I know.
It was Christine Ebersole.
There you go.
And Mary Louise Wilson played the Rachel York part, and they both won a Tony for it.
There you go.
Blah blah blah. So here's a word that's used, although this isn't my normal erudite kind of word because I think people are going to know this one. I'm just not up on the relative current lingo of 2004 to know this word. So I'm going to say this word, and what we do is we talk about it on the show is the way critics tend to use very erudite language that you need a dictionary. This doesn't quite qualify, but I didn't know it and I had to look it up, so I'm going to force y'all to listen to it. So here it is. The two parts Miss York plays up to a giant job, and at Sunday's matinee, her voice sometimes sounded frayed, which detracted not at all from the slightly boho elegance of her outrageous young Edith. Boho elegance. Anybody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? And say it in a microphone.
So boho is bohemian, right? And so there's...
It's boho chic is what it's called.
And so there's various like neighborhoods and cultures and stuff.
2004 it was coined, and it's evidently there was a whole Wikipedia page about boho chic.
Yes.
Never heard of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, when you wear readers like Nicole and I do, you get out of touch. Anyway, this was a little love letter to Betty Buckley. Grey Gardens.
Yeah, it was a love letter. But why'd you call me out of touch? I knew what boho meant.
I'm calling me out of touch, and you're my co-host. So therefore, you're out of touch. You're out of touch because I'm out of touch. So I would guess that this might find its way back.
I was hoping that would happen.
The music is wonderful. I think.
I do too. I cannot.
Anybody else know the music?
Disagree with you
Kirk,
here.
You should know the music for Grey Gardens.
I do not know the music of Grey Gardens.
Neither do I.
Yeah. Well, all right. So
some homework for everyone in here today.
There you go. Get it on iTunes. What else do you want to talk about?
We mentioned this briefly on Backstage at Offstage last week, but Tom York from Radiohead is doing a music for a Harold Pinter piece.
Play. Yes, he is.
I find this fascinating. Yeah. So it's a revival of the play Old Times, and Douglas Hodge is directing it, which I think is like bananasly awesome. Another fabulous actor.
Bananasly awesome.
You may know him from, he was in the revival of La Cage aux Folles.
I know. In the review you sent, they made sure to mention that he played a drag queen. It seemed very
homophobic
language,
as you say,
if you ask
that.
Me.
Yes, you're right. They did, didn't they? So it doesn't really have a lot of vocals in it. They're going to be shards of songs featuring York's falsetto. But since the play's set in 71, he's recording with synthesizers that are from 71 and using passages of music that are introverted, looped, and played backwards.
Wow.
But Hodge is matching the pieces of the music to the staging. I find this fascinating. I find it really exciting. Do you know the show Old Times?
No, I don't. Does anybody?
Nope.
It's about a married couple, and they welcome the wife's old friend for a visit, which kicks up old memories, verbal games, and a classic Pinter amount of menace. It's a love triangle about sex, love, jealousy, and memory.
Mm. Memories, speaking of Betty Buckley.
Yes, I think this could be interesting. I'm excited.
You are.
There you go.
She is excited.
I'm a little excited about that.
Well, did I mention that I'm rather out of touch and I had to go and listen to, I have no idea what
I didn't think you were going to know what Radiohead
I mean, was. I mean, I know who Radiohead is, but I don't know their music. So I had to go and listen to some of it. And yeah.
It's not your thing, I don't think.
Not my thing.
It's awesome. I didn't think it was. It's not Lisa's cup of tea, which is fine.
I have show tunes, Tourette's.
Listen, different strokes for different folks. That's what makes the world go round.
That's right. So we talked last week about Dear Evan Hansen.
We did briefly, yes.
Yes, which you made the comment of saying, it's not next to normal, which is true. But it's coming to Broadway.
I think we had a feeling it would. That
yeah,
was our
we did,
prediction.
We did have a feeling. Well, it's actually coming to second stage, which is technically off Broadway, but it's there's a good
it's
chance.
It's in a good area, and that's normally your next stepping stone.
Well, they did buy, and I want to say it's the Lyric, but it's not the Lyric. But they did buy a Broadway house, so it could be in their Broadway house, which in that case would be. Broadway show. Anyway, and that's the Pasek and Paul show, which we like to say. Any composer duo that is alliterative is on my...
We love to say it.
Yeah,
it's
Pasek
exciting.
And Paul. Kander and Keb.
One day it'll be Shiro and Sheps. Right? Because we're one of those fun names.
Hodgers and Hammerstein. I love them all. Anyway, so it's gonna open at some point. In
the future.
It doesn't. I don't think they've given a date. I'm looking for it right now.
I don't think they did give a date, if I remember correctly. I did not.
So, but this was, by the way, to remind folks, this was playing at the Arena Stage in Washington, D.C. It's still playing through this weekend, through August 23rd. And Second Stage did not announce a specific date or cast for its production.
Well, there you go. You've heard it here. Well. And that's all she
wrote.
There
it is. So do you have anything else?
I do. They announced when they're doing the Broadway shows for free for kiddos. How cool is that? That's going to be children in the theater. Get them in the young. I think that's awesome.
Go.
So
the theater agenda we have. Indoctrinate the kids young.
Yes. Well, you can find more information about it at kidsnightonbroadway.com. It's going to be held January 9th through 15th. Tickets will go on sale November 5th. Basically, kids get in for free when accompanied by a full-paying adult.
Oh,
any kids 6 through 18.
Tickets go on sale, they're free. Okay. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So shows participating are
Matilda.
Wicked, The Lion King,
Matilda.
Mama Mia. I was going alphabetical.
Matilda.
But yes, Matilda, which I think is awesome.
It's the only one I could remember.
Jersey Boys. I was like, okay.
It's
great. It's a family show. I'm not ditching Jersey Boys. Have had enough of them, I think. But I think it's really clear. They're also going to have pre-theater activities. Local restaurants are getting involved. Education programs are going to be going on. And a lot of the Times Square eateries are going to be doing extra special events and having, like, actors and stuff in there.
Cool.
How awesome to get your child to the theater.
We love that.
So if you're looking for more information, kidsnightonbroadway.com.
So I think that's a great little
back
to school trip. You know, once the kids get to school, take a weekend to go to New York with them.
I think so too, because I have to take a trip soon because of the sad news happening.
So, you know, okay, so now I have to ask what?
Hedwig's closing.
Oh, wait. We're going to talk about that last. We're going to talk about it. But you spoiled the surprise.
How's that a surprise? That's sad.
Not a surprise. Cirque du Soleil is coming here to town.
Yes, they are.
Which is great, and they're gonna play out at the racetrack, which is great. So it's the tent production, which is pretty incredible. Has anybody seen the tent production of Cirque?
Way.
Yeah. Has anybody seen any of their installation?
I'm over here just raising my hand.
I know, you've seen everything.
No one can
tell
that, but no one knows I'm doing that.
Anyway, but it's the order in which to see a Cirque production is seated in the tent first. And then go see one of their permanent installations because the tent, it's amazing what they do in
it's
a tent.
It's just mind-boggling.
So now they're coming to Broadway.
Yes.
Yeah, in a show called Paramore.
Yes.
Written specifically for Broadway at the Lyric Theater.
Yes.
Which I think is pretty cool.
Which, that's the theater they perfectly...
It's the Broadway's largest theater.
Yeah, I know. Spidey's old theater.
Yeah. It was purchased in 2014 by London's Ambassador Theater Group.
Well, the On the Town
or LATG,
folks.
As we like to call it. but it starts previews in April of 2016.
Correct.
And you know that this is going to be...
Huge.
I would guess it's going to be a similar, although probably not as fraught, redo of a theater as Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark was.
Probably. But you know what? A lot of all that, at least they've got riggings and different stuff in there built. I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what On the Town did when Spidey left. So,
on to the sad news. And Nicole talked about it before. Hedwig is closing.
Yeah,
Are you going to get there first?
My mother called devastated. Nikki, I was like, Mom, I know. I'm trying to figure it out in the calendar now. That has bamboozled my plans.
It was originally going to close on October 11th, but now it's closing August
16th.
September 13th.
Yes, don't close it early, babe.
Oh, you're right.
The 16th September 13th. Already happened.
It's true. <Yeah. laughs>
Please don't do that to me. It's going on tour, though. Not coming here so far that I know of.
Yeah, have they announced a cast for that?
No, they haven't announced the cast. San Francisco has dates, and like two or three other places have dates. But they didn't announce the cast.
Well, it will have, once it closes, it will have played 506 performances, which is
quite impressive. Yes.
Especially for those of us who thought that after NPH left, that it wouldn't survive. But it did. It carried on with lots of different people. I said that.
But I didn't think it was going to work when it came to Broadway from off-Broadway being a diehard. So I was wrong.
Interestingly enough, they recouped in very quickly.
Yeah, well, when you were charging $350 a ticket for NPH.
15 weeks they recouped their budget, which is unheard of for a musical. But they're all charging that. It's not just this show. They're all charging that same amount.
John Cameron Mitchell, sorry, was not that much. He was 110. I'm just saying.
Well, not that, you know, we all know who he is, but Neil Patrick Harris has a slightly
John's
bigger
better.
Name. Okay. So let's talk about our trivia question.
Oh, okay. Well, you know.
Just as a reminder, we're going to pose a trivia question. Nicole is going to pose that trivia question, which we will answer at the very beginning of Backstage at Offstage. So those of you that are here, if you know the answer, button the lip. Okay. So
I wanted to do one like I have been with our guests, but there weren't any for our shows that I could find in here. So I went with something my brother and I have been talking about a lot this week, ironically.
That's Casey.
Casey. I opened it up. So this is about the best little whorehouse in Texas.
I don't think you can say that on the air.
Texans Carol Hill wrote the score. Larry King, book. Peter Masterson, book and direction. And Tommy Toon, direction and choreography, combined to create this country and western flavored The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, 1978. The story focused on the chicken ranch, its madam, Carlin Glynn, and the forces out to shut down the operation. Where did the source material come from? A, Miss Mona's memoirs. B, it's a Texas hybrid of Irma LaDuce and Can Can. C, the Dolly Parton movie. D, Larry King got the idea from legalized prostitution houses in Nevada. Or E, King wrote an article for Playboy about the real chicken ranch.
Okay, there you go.
It's supposed to be coming back to Broadway.
We will give you the answer to that at Backstage at Offstage. In the meantime, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back and talk to our friends at City Theater. So we're going to go out on a little sad note because of Hedwig.
Okay.
Okay, everybody be sad.
I rose from off of the doctor's slab. I lost a piece of my...
If you're a sustainer at co-op, you're in that thing for the watch.
That's pretty cool.
Here's the sad part.
What?
Would you like to know the sad part?
I
am a sustainer to this station.
Yes.
But I'm not eligible. I don't get the watch.
That's not sad. You know why? Huh. You're not eligible because you have this awesome radio show called Offstage and On the Air.
Yeah, but I don't have a watch. I sort of want one of those.
I left my watch at home.
Does anybody
today.
Want one of those?
No.
Yeah. I do. Yeah. That's amazing. Anyway.
I want one only if it's because I'm a sustainer. at co-op.
Yeah, that's the right answer. Anyway, so right next door to this radio station is Austin's very own City Theater, who's now just over 10 years old.
Isn't that crazy?
Amazing to me.
Yeah.
And they are now in the third week of a three-week, third week, right? Or fourth week?
Fourth week
of Love, Valor, and Compassion. Very well-received Terrence McNally play at the City Theater. And from that show, we have Scott Papa.
Hello.
Ty McLeod.
What's going on?
I wrote it down. and Kurt Kelso.
Hello.
So tell us about this show. What's it about? Somebody.
Scott. You're good at this.
Kurt points.
Well, it's a very well-known Terrence McNally play. One of his... it's one of the plays that has basically all the elements of Terrence McNally.
Right.
It's got humor, it's got drama, it's got sadness. It's was written in 1994. It was won Tony for Best Play the year that it premiered on Broadway. Yeah. I play John and James Jekyll, British twins in the show. And my friend over here, Kirk, plays Gregory, our host for the three
weekends.
He's
the host.
Yes. The host.
It's basically a show about eight gay men who vacation together at a summer home in north of New York City. And the play encompasses three weekends, Memorial Day, 4th of July, and Labor Day. And chaos ensues after the first scene opens up.
That's right.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so we know the role that Scott and what's your name?
Kirk
play.
She goes by
Ty, what do you play?
I play Ramon Fornos.
Ramon Fornos. It sounds like the mysterious man that comes in.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a half Puerto Rican in this show. Originally, it was written as a full Puerto Rican, but we didn't think we could pull that off with his eyebrows. So, he's John's love interest in the beginning, and things kind of take a turn. He's still interesting to John throughout the show, but just not as much as he's at the beginning. So.
Right. So this piece was written in the early 90s. AIDS was still pretty much a death sentence at the time.
Yes,
it was.
And it was a really... So AIDS plays a pretty prominent role in this piece, doesn't it?
It does. Buzz is one of the characters that Nathan Lane originated in the show on Broadway. And... he is living with AIDS, as is James, one of the brothers that I play. They're both theater seamstresses, if you will. And they both commiserate about their conditions throughout the show. And the third act kind of pulls all that together. It's the characters in the show have a very good arc. They start off... you get to know them, they build, and it follows the traditional show theater arc of character development. It's a very well-written play, and it's been very well-received, like you said, from the public.
Yeah, so. Very well-received. So, Ty, tell us about your character. I'm intrigued by this character.
Ah, Ramon. One word I can say is extremely confident. confident. I think he embodies passion in the play. And I don't know... Originally, I had watched the original performance of the guy who played Ramon.
You watched the original? Oh, in the film.
Oh, in the film, yeah.
The film, I guess he played in the original Broadway production, mm-hmm. but he just seemed really cold to me. So, I don't know. To me, Ramon's more...
Did you warm him up a bit?
Yeah. For sure, I had to, yeah.
Turned on the heater. Well, really quick, like I need to take a off on a quick tangent. And so, Ty, I'm going to give you a job. I'm going to ask you to choose a number between 1 and 47. 2 and 47, sorry.
All right, let's go with 9.
9. Okay, we like 9. Why'd you choose 9?
Just my lucky number.
It's your lucky number. Okay, let's see what you chose.
Hey, we're Comedy Sports Austin! You're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP, Hornsby, Austin, 91.7 FM!
Do something funny!
Do something funny!
Okay, the now defunct Comedy Sports Austin.
We haven't listened to that one. Like,
we haven't in a long
time.
Good choice.
Yes.
Yeah, I did Comedy Sports in Chicago.
You because you're a rock star.
Yeah. What haven't I done? Kirk, tell us about your character.
Well, Gregory Mitchell is the host at the country home in Dutchess County. He has been a very successful choreographer. He's always been a great dancer. He is coming to an age where the dancing is getting more and more difficult, which is a huge blow to his ego.
Yeah. And something and, some of us can relate to.
He's using readers now. And he also has a young lover who is blind. And as this summer progresses, that begins to unravel a bit
as
well.
The blindness or the relationship.
The relationship. Okay. And so
you have an evil grin on your face when you say that. So it sounds like something that we're going to want to see.
Yes, it is. And so he's in a big midlife crisis, so to speak. It's a turning point.
Wouldn't know anything about that.
I know it's coming 10, 20 years down the road, so this is great preparation
It's a nice...
Draw from it. Nice later I'm gonna draw in life, from it. Right?
And Scott, you play twins.
I do.
So that so at least you look alike.
We do, yeah. And there's a line in there that says, "I wish I could say it's because you're so much better looking than me."
And that's the way the roles is. That's always the same actor usually plays those.
It was,
roles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When it came on Broadway, John Glover played the character. He won a Tony for the part.
The parts,
yes. And he also recreated the role in the movie version of it when it came out too. So he's.
Have y'all all seen the movie?
I have.
Yeah.
I haven't actually. I need to.
Your Jason Alexander's in it.
Yeah, Jason takes the place of Nathan Lane.
Amazing.
We won't go into comparisons here.
Yeah. So how is it playing twins? How do you?
It's like Jekyll and Hyde, but not Jekyll and
it
Hyde.
It is basically yes. Exactly. John Jekyll is a very bitter failed. Musical playwright. He's written one show that had 11 performances and it closed, and now he is Gregory's rehearsal pianist for full time. James, on the other hand, is a successful theater costumer, and he comes over from England to get better health care due to his condition with AIDS. And between the two, It's been interesting finding the mindset to develop those characters so they have their own distinct voice and mannerisms and everything. It was just it's been a labor of love actually because when I saw the auditions come open for this play, I really wanted to be in it as sort of a testament to all the friends that I've lost, friends and family I've lost to AIDS over the years. So that's basically what the show means to me. I was able to put that out there and. Do the best job I could with the characterizations. But it's been an interesting journey trying to find those characters.
I think it'd be very difficult because it'd be really hard to not fall into, over-exaggerated versions of the characters.
Exactly. Yeah, it's very easy to go very stereotypical with, especially with a British accent or, a lot of the mannerisms that you have to do. So,
Yeah. So y'all opened 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
To lots of critical acclaim. How's everything going over there? Your house is good?
Yeah, house has been very good. If you'd like to get tickets, you can visit our website, the citytheateraustin.org, I believe.
Very
it is.
Good. That is it.
And the houses have been fantastic. We've had last weekend was pretty much sold out, and we expect the same reception this weekend as well for people who haven't had a chance to see it yet.
So who directed this piece?
Matthew Charles Burnett.
Yeah, and I don't know that I know Matthew. I might.
If you saw Austin Theater Project's production of Avenue Q, he was one of the bad advice bears in that production.
Oh, that Matthew.
Matty B.
Yeah, okay. Now, I do know who
he
also
directed Grease. You were hanging out with him all the time.
Avenue Q is at my theater, so of course I knew who he was.
Okay.
I did not know his last name.
I love it.
And I did not know he was a director.
To direct in. That's awesome.
Yeah. So good. Thank you for the knock on the noggin. Knock on the noggin. So who else do you want to give a shout out to that's involved in the show? Anything?
Mr. Rick Felkins is playing Buzz Hauser.
Excellent.
One of the great actors here in Austin. Let's see. Who else we missing?
Marco Bazan. Dax Dobbs. Yep. And Ryan Wilson.
Yep.
And Ryan Wilson's playing Bobby. He's doing a phenomenal job as a young blind man.
They're all
my
very
lover.
Your lover. Mm. And there's something there. That's the evil grin comes out whenever you talk about
Terrence McNally always writes such great character. So yes. It's got to be a lot of fun to do this show.
It's been great fun. And, you know, some of the monologues that John has were very difficult to get through when I was rehearsing. So it's a real eye-opener. If you've never seen any of Terrence McNally's plays, this is a good one to start with. So.
Yes.
Well, and I think it's good time, and you have plenty of time to see it. So it's in full disclosure, it's a 3-hour.
Yes,
It's three acts. It has three acts, intermissions. And 3 hours. Yeah, and the folks that we've talked to said that the time just flies by. They get so engrossed in the story that it doesn't even feel like.
And that's the wonderful thing about very good theater. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is so often the case. It's like you really get into it, and you all of a sudden 3 hours is done. You go, oh my God, I want it to be 4.
Yep.
It's like this radio show.
That's right.
Just like this radio show.
Just like this
show.
Well,
so y'all have one more weekend, correct?
We do. That's right.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
And Sunday.
Sunday matinee. And where can folks go to get more information about it?
City Theater, and it's the theater is R-E, not E-R, austin.org.
Right, and you don't have to say that on this show, because my audience knows.
Our audience knows that's the right one.
Well, thank you guys for coming on the show, and
thank
I hope you will stick around and stay backstage with us. If you can.
Awesome.
Okay, that was Scott Pawpaw, Ty McLeod, and Kurt Kelso of City Theater's production of Love, Valor, and Passion through August 23rd at City Theater. For more information, citytheateraustin.org. We'll be right back.
Most friends fade or they don't.
This is from Merrily We Roll Along, speaking of Jason Alexander.
Yes, it is. I love old friends. It's great.
I like the show.
I do like
Merrily
the show.
We Roll Along. And those of you that follow this show know that the show that I did, Oh Brother, which was a big flop, was right across the street from Merrily We Roll Along, which is also a big flop.
Which was a big, I know, I was although, hilarious.
Although I think ours was a bigger flop because we only ran 3 performances, and they, I think, ran a couple of weeks before it closed. Anyway, so what's going on locally? I have no idea. I need you to fill me in.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know how many things to bring. Well, this weekend is the Central Austin Arts Block Party. Which,
yes, it is.
Yes, it's unprecedented joint effort.
It's an unprecedented.
That's what I've been told.
What hasn't been done, and that's the Long Center, Zach Scott.
Yes, let's see. Partners include Austin Opera, Austin Symphony Orchestra, Austin Shakespeare, Ballet Austin, Conspire, The Doherty, Pollyanna, Tapestry, Umlauf Sculpture Garden.
Umlauf Sculpture Garden.
And there's different things going on in different places. So you can get live music at Zach on their campus before the final performance of Sophisticated Ladies. You can go backstage at the Long Center and get tours. You can have live performances taking place at the Rollins and Dell Hall. At Long, there's tons of stuff going on. There's information at zacktheater.org, longcenter.org, and now playing austin.com.
And also, you know,
what an awesome thing for the city. Yeah, it's from 1 to 6.
1 to 6. On Saturday?
Sunday.
Sunday.
The 23rd. Sunday.
So, Guys and Dolls has opened up at TexArts.
Yes.
And it's gotten some good notices and good word o mouth there. And then Robin Hood, which we had on the show last week,
two weeks ago,
has gotten really great.
I was about to say, they've been everywhere. Yeah. I've been reading about it, and I was like, I'm so glad they were on this.
Yeah, I would. I'm sorry that I'm not getting over to see it. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I would be remiss if I did not mention the 1 Minute Play Festival.
And where's that?
That is a production of Scriptworks, and it is at the Ground Floor Theater. And it, we've got one more night, and it's tonight. I've seen it the past 2 nights. And if you've never seen, anybody see the 1 Minute Play Festival last year? Okay, it is really an incredible experience. It is 70 plays in 70 minutes. It's not my show. There are 50 actors. But what is impressive to me, and this was impressed me when I saw it last year at Salvage Vanguard, is how much can be said in 60 seconds.
Rebecca Robinson has been having a great time.
Yep, she's in it. So it's done in they call them clumps. But I think we've been talking about how, you know, you have names of things, like you have a Pride of Lions and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought a poverty of actors.
Oh, love it. I love the...
Or a bard of playwrights.
A bard. I like that one too.
But these are set into clumps. They call them clumps. So there's a clump that has 6 to 8 actors and a director, and they do 8 to 10 pieces in rapid fire shot. And it's really wonderful. More information can be found at scriptworks.org. One more night. There's not a lot of room left. So
no, I've loved the Twitter pictures I've seen, especially when they're rehearsing all the actors sitting together. It's like, that's a lot. And that's exciting.
It's been pretty crazy. All that, the actors, like, they stage them in the lobby of the theater, and it looks sort of like a refugee camp. It's when you walk through.
It looks like creativity, Lisa.
It is. Well, creativity. No, I am a huge fan. When I saw it last year, and when they wanted to do it at Ground Floor, I was like, yes.
Yes, please.
And so that's scriptworks.org. It benefits Scriptworks, which is a wonderful organization.
Absolutely.
You know what it's time for right now?
What is it time for,
it's
Lisa?
It's time for Today in Theater History.
Dun, 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 dun.
So in 1918, everybody will remember. Kurt will remember
that was
this.
A warm year. Do you remember that?
It was the opening night for Yip, Yip, Yap, Yap, Hank.
Are you sure there's not another Yip in there?
Yip, Yap, Hank. It was a World One era morale building production, starring actually the men in at Camp Upton, the soldiers of Camp Upton, and the score was by a sergeant, Irving Berlin.
Okay, I do. You said this, and I'm laughing. I'm like, why did I feel like someone famous worked on that?
Yeah,
that'd be because they did.
And in 1955 is the birthday of Mr. Peter Gallagher.
Oh, happy birthday, Mr. Peter.
Best known for Tom Stoppard's The Real Thing, Long Day's Journey and Tonight, amongst others. Also Guys and Dolls and Noises Off, which is going to be done here in Austin pretty soon in December. In 2007, there was a Broadway revival of a show called Grease.
Yes.
Mm. Heard of it.
Starred by the winners of it was cast by a reality television show.
This was your Laura.
One of which was Laura Osnes, which she didn't get good, got not a lot of critical acclaim, but she's done quite well since then.
A little darling.
Yeah, and Max Crumb, who I haven't heard of anything.
Since
but it ran for 554 performances.
Yeah, I was shocked it ran that long.
Directed and choreographed by Kathleen Marshall, and it was at the Brooks Atkinson. Other birthdays. Ogden Nash.
Really?
Yes, I did a show of his poetry, and it was called The Golden Treasury of Ogden Nashery.
Randomly, I did a show on poetry of James Thurber, and someone's like, who does shows on poetry? You did Ogden Nash, well, I did
Thurber's
Thurber.
Carnival.
Well, no, this was some dude wrote something on his own, but yes, I know Thurber's Carnival.
We did Ogden Nash, and speaking of, well, we'll talk about that next week. Also in 1956, Adam Arkin.
Happy birthday.
Who's older than me, thank God. John Stamos.
Kira
Sedgwick, 1965. And who is Tracy Thomas? Anybody know? Anyway, it's her birthday.
Wait a minute. What year is she?
1975. Oh. I know. Kurt and I are going, I'm so sad.
She's older than I, or younger than I am, so.
Yeah, she's younger than I am, too. It is also the birthday of Bradley Pounds, former co-host of Co-op's. God. What's the show that Heath Riddle started? Outcast.
Oh,
thank you.
Outcast.
My God. And this is also local actor and Gnap Production Theater Company artistic director Shannon McCormick. It's his birthday as well.
That's exciting.
So mazel tov to them.
I'm going to have to figure out who Tracy is.
And who Tracy is?
Mm-hmm.
We could Wikipedia it, I'm sure. So the last thing I want to talk about is also the anniversary of the musical version of Dracula. Which is a Frank Wildhorn piece.
Is this the Wildhorn? I almost picked a Wildhorn trivia question
it's the Frank
today,
Wildhorn
ironically.
Piece. And so we will go out with, it ran for 157 performances.
Who knew?
But we'll listen to a little bit of this music and maybe we'll figure out why it didn't last very long.
When I breathe your English air, I'll be a stranger everywhere.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin. This is Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Yes.
We have just been speaking with Scott Papaw, Kurt Kelso, and Ty McLeod. And we're about to speak to Dolores Diaz and Rob Rowland. But before we do, I just wanted to say, oh my God, there was something I was going to say and now I forgot what it was. Never mind. It was about Dracula, I think.
About Frank Wildhorn?
Yeah, I lost it.
Dracula shouldn't be singing?
Dracula shouldn't be singing. Okay, so Teatro Vivo has got an event, I would call it, sort of a play festival, if you will, for the next 2 weeks called Verano en Vivo. And from that, we have Dolores Diaz, who's a playwright of one of the plays, and she wrote Don't Tell Me Los... I cannot pronounce it.
You were halfway there.
You were so close.
No, tequileros.
It's so the L is hard. It's a hard L.
Okay.
So tequila and tequileros.
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 Tequileros. And Rob Roland, who's the director of Crossing the River.
Rio.
Or the Rio.
Point of contention.
Yes, it's a point of contention. We talked about that before the show.
It's like, I wasn't sure after the conversation earlier.
So this is over the next 2 weeks, you're doing three plays.
That's correct.
Correct?
Four. No, sorry, three. Sorry. Okay. Yours is one. Mine is two.
So tell us about them.
Go ahead, ladies first.
Okay, so Tequileros is about the demise of three tequila runners during the time of the Prohibition.
Oh.
They're running tequila from the Mexican side to the American side, and they meet their demise at the hands of American law enforcement. And it's based on a corrido, which is a Mexican folk ballad. It's a real event. The folk ballad, well, it's not, let me amend that and say that it's inspired by a corrido, which is a Mexican folk ballad, but it also isn't very heavily informed by research. There's newspaper research that was done, interviews and whatnot. So that's what it's about.
Oh, cool. And how long ago did you start writing this piece?
So I was actually, I had about, 5 or 10 pages years ago and then never did anything with it. And it was until recently that I really got the fire sort of under me to go ahead and expand it. And that's what I did this year, or just a few months ago.
So this, and I'm assuming all three are written in both Spanish and English, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So a Spanish speaker and an English speaker can equally enjoy the pieces.
I would say at least mine is, so it's written for a bilingual audience, and also to be enjoyed by an audience that is just an English speaker, or I'm not exactly sure as far as, that's one of the things we're going to test out, right? I think it'd be interesting. There'll be an audience response section afterwards, and we'll see sort of what different people are taking from it. So I'm from the border, I'm bilingual, so it's easier for me to, I sort of see things one way. So it's written for a general audience, but we'll definitely see and look forward to feedback from both sides.
Well, that is one of the things that Teatro Vivo typically does. Is it tries to really sort of open up the Latino experience to non-Latinos, correct?
Yes, that's pretty much been our goal since it was founded.
Yeah. So tell me about your shows.
Okay, so Crossing Rio, both shows are written by Rupert Reyes. Crossing is an identity piece about a Border Patrol agent and his father. His father being more of a super cop, down to the books. We got to throw everyone back on the south side of the border, and we're going to keep them out of here. Whereas the son is a little bit unsure of what he's doing here. He's kind of just following his dad along because his dad is very type A personality. This is what you have to do, son. And he says, okay. He was happy going along with that job until one day his best friend reveals himself to be a coyote, which is one of the men who brings people across the border. And he happens to be bringing along his cousin, who the younger agent is actually in love with. So it's a question of, do I want to be doing what my dad says, or am I going to do what I want and help this girl to safety?
Wow. And so are you involved in the other play as well, Two Souls and a Promise?
Yes, I'm also directing Two Souls. That's another show written by Rupert. It's a more magical piece, I would say. It's a love story that has to do with, it opens with two teenagers. The girl falls tragically to her death in the beginning, but not before she promises her soul to her one true love. And of course, we spend the rest of the play wondering where she's going to manifest, and she does manifest, but in the soul of her father's, of the man's daughter's new boyfriend, who is African American.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So it becomes a racially charged piece about the man feeling racial bias towards his daughter's boyfriend, but then realizing that it's not so much racial bias as it is this girl that I'm in love with is suddenly back, but she's not with me.
Oh, okay.
It's interesting.
It's interesting. So the shows that you've got, Two Souls and a Promise and Crossing the Rio, the titles are in English.
Yes.
Would we assume that's in English? Would the dialogue be in English mostly, or no?
The dialogue is mostly English. We have a lot of Spanish, of course, sprinkled throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of times what we do is we have the Spanish said first and then kind of repeated by other characters in English just to make it easy for everyone.
I like that. Then I don't feel like they did that in English just for me, even though I'm like, oh, but they did.
Those of us who are monolingual and embarrassed about it.
I'm not monolingual. I just don't know Spanish really well. I try.
I'm monolingual.
I get better. I get more words in my vocabulary as the years go on.
So what are the what? So your shows are like 2 weeks out.
Yes.
And Dolores, your shows are this weekend. Correct?
That's right.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Are y'all all ready to go?
Oh yeah.
Almost there.
What? Where are you doing these shows?
We're doing it at the Mexican American Culture Center on the main stage.
I like to call it the Mac.
The Mac.
Are there big casts in these shows, or are they small? And do you use the same casts?
We don't use the same cast in our show since we're rehearsing at the same time. But my cast is quite large, actually. It's a 9-person cast.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that is a large cast.
That is a big. And how about you?
Mine is pretty small, 4 to 5 people, very condensed. So, but we recycle them in both shows.
So you're double cast in yours, and okay, interesting.
And are you is the second week? Are your two shows, Rob? Are they one act?
Yes,
they're both
one acts.
And Dolores, I'm guessing yours is a 2 actor.
That's correct.
Yay! Well,
we
didn't even need you here.
We could have just
said it. And so, who's directing your piece?
Alexis
Dolores?
Arredondo is the name of the director, uh-huh. And he's been directing with Teatro Vivo for.
About eight years,
is that right? Okay.
How long has Teatro Vivo been around?
Oh, gee.
15 years.
Oh, this is the Quinceanera. This year is the Quinceanera.
Oh, there you go.
There's 15 years. I know that one. Yeah.
What are they doing, do you know, to celebrate the Quinceanera?
Oh. Giving us plays.
Lovely.
So the lineup this year was kept with that in mind. I think all of the shows that have been put on, was it female playwrights this season? I think there was something...
For the play festival?
Not for the play festival. The main...
The season I so.
Shows. I think that was one of the things. They were all female playwrights, something like that, because we were thinking...
So are there any other part of your production team that you want to give a shout out to? Any?
Yeah, with a cast of 9, I don't think I would dare.
Don't even try.
You could be in trouble for getting one.
I mean, I, of course, have to thank my cast, all of them. I think one of my actors walked up to me on the second week of rehearsal and said, you know, I've memorized most of my lines, but I've learned that with you directing, the question I was asking myself is, what is he going to ask me to do today, and how far is he going to push me to do it? Uh-huh. The answer's always pretty far. But of course, my stage manager, Liara Shkurti, for dealing with 24/7 me asking her questions, and again, second week realizing that I wasn't actually asking her questions so much as I was just needing a bounce board,
right.
Which is annoying for any artist, but she learns how I think. And my set designer and lighting designer, Justin Beats, for anything that I don't know, I pretty much put that blame on him, and he always rises to the occasion. So couldn't do anything without the two of them.
How I would assume that the scenic and technical elements are vastly different, so you're going to have to do a show, then do a changeover, correct?
That's right. As far as between
You're not performing in the same set, for instance.
Yeah, so mine's actually... It's going to be actually really easy for us because mine is a minimal... there is no set.
Oh, lovely.
It's a minimal... there's minimal props, and there's just sort of minimal costuming, just sort of mostly just black costuming, so...
Well, great. So, Los Tequila... Why do I... Don't tell me.
First say the drink.
Tequila Eros. Quileros. Darn.
Close.
That opens this week. And then Two Souls and a Promise and Crossing the Rio opens next week.
Yes.
At the Mac. Where can folks go to get more information?
You can visit teatrovivo.org to look for reservations for tickets, or you can come up into the door.
You can come right to the door at the Mac, down on the east side of the river. The south side of the river.
Yes.
Or the lake, depending on how you look at it. I call it a river. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on. I hope you can stay with us and enjoy the backstage area.
We will.
I'll be here.
Wonderful. That was Dolores Diaz and Rob Roland. They are with Teatro Vivo's event, Verano en Vivo. For more information, you may visit teatrovivo.org. And I wasn't quite sure what to play to do this, so I did find a song called, and I have to do it again, Los Tequileros. By Pancho Villagomez y sus Coyotes del Rio Bravo.
Yes, let's hear it.
We chose the right song.
You chose
evidently.
The right song.
Yay!
That's hilarious.
Well, we've finished up another show. So
can you
thank
believe
you.
It?
And we're gonna have to we're gonna have to close down the studio and head backstage.
I know.
We have to walk in past the ghost light to get backstage.
I know.
Which leads us to if you are listening on the air right now, you're gonna stand by for Austin Monitor News, and then another bottle down after that. If you're listening on the podcast, stick around. We're gonna slip backstage. We're gonna learn a little bit more about our guests. And remember, please like us on Facebook.
Yes.
Stitch us on Stitcher.
Stitch us.
iTunes us on iTuners.
iTunes us.
But what's the best way to get us?
Oh, you know, the best way is the most exciting way. You can just get Lisa and Nicole delivered in your mailbox. We arrive.
Just go to offstageonair.com, put your name, and we'll just send it every Thursday morning.
Thursday morning. You wake up Friday and we're there. No, you wake up Thursday and we're there.
Yeah,
it's
Thursday.
The middle of the night.
You're right there.
We're right there.
Because I do all the work. I think that's about it. Thank you again.
Thank you.
We're going to go out with something from Bring It On, just because I like that show.
I know.
Or, I don't like the show.
You
I
like the music.
Haven't seen it. I like the music. It's fun. So stand by again for Austin Monitor News. We'll be back next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye, Nicole.
Bye, Lisa.
I got you.
Well, here we are backstage. We just come down the curtain on 7-Eleven, the hot dog musical. It's a story of a young 7-Eleven clerk who falls in love with a piece of snack food and the trials and tribulations that go along
it
with that.
It could happen.
Yep.
To me.
The villain was a jar of Dijon mustard.
My mic could go so many ways.
I don't know where I come
quiet.
Up with these things. Well, we are here backstage, and we are joined back here with Kirk Kelso, who,
yes.
As many times as you've been on the show, have you been backstage before?
Once.
You
like,
have
I
been backstage.
We did come
once,
back.
But it was
I think
a big
it was
group.
With, was it You're in Town and...
it was a really big group that day,
yeah.
I think, when
okay.
you were here.
Well, now we got you in a rather intimate group.
Yes.
That's good. Dolores Diaz.
Hi.
Hi. And Rob Roland.
Good to be here.
Well, now, why don't I hear your voice? Like, try that again.
Good to be here.
Oh, there he is. Your voice. I hear him now.
Okay.
The voice is really deep. It's hard to hear.
You're all about the mute today. It's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I'm all about the mute. Well, Rob, where are you from?
I'm actually an Austin native, probably the last one.
Whoa. Austin, Texas?
Yep.
You know what? A lot of people say that. Yeah, I totally forgot. Hold on. Hold that thought.
I wasn't trying to, you just
no, you did,
to remind me.
No, you did right. You okay. did right. You did. I did wrong. So we need to jump right into the answer to the trivia question about Best Little Whorehouse. So read the question without the lead up.
Yep. The story of the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, 1978. The story focused on the chicken ranch, its Madam Carlin Glynn, and the forces out to shut down the operation. Where did the source material come from? A, Miss Mona's memoirs. B, it's a Texan hybrid of Irma LaDuce and Can Can. C, the Dolly Parton movie. D, Larry King got the idea from the legalized prostitution houses in Nevada. Or E, King wrote an article for Playboy about the real chicken ranch.
So the interesting thing is, I thought I knew the answer to this because I was around in Houston when this happened.
You thought it was Marvin Zindler.
I thought it was Marvin Zindler.
So did I. I was like, well, it was Marvin Zindler, people, but that's
not
an option.
So I'm going to guess. So I've got a guess, but I'm not going to say my guess first. What do y'all think?
E. I think it's Playboy.
Playboy?
Yeah.
I say two people say
I got to go with
Ron.
My teammate.
Okay, so three Playboy and,
Nicole.
Nicole knows the answer. I'm going to say A.
I shouldn't have said Marvin Zindler. I should have said Marvin Zindler.
Eyewitness News. I'm going to say A, Miss Mona's memoir.
Well, it was E.
Nice.
Yay!
King wrote a Playboy article about the chicken ranch, and since it evolved into a Broadway show, this is proof that at least some people buy the magazine for the articles.
I like that.
Why I chose it. I was like, that is hilarious. And my brother and I have been singing all the songs from the show this week. Ironically, I don't know
why. It's funny. Patty and I were singing Hard Candy Christmas a lot last week.
Were you really?
Hard Candy Christmas is such a beautiful song.
It really is.
You know, we're going to go out with it today.
Oh,
I've already decided.
Awesome. You know when they
and we'll all sing it together. Does everybody know that song?
I do not.
Okay, we'll sing it at the end of the show.
Ironically, when Best Little Whorehouse, the year of the Tonys, when they performed, they did the raunchy Aggie song, and the choreography is about they're going to get laid. So they
which we can say it off
stage.
Backstage
at off stage. Yeah, you're all looking at me like what? And it was hilarious because if you go back on and try to Google and find the performance, almost everything is censored out of it. Moves and lyrics. I don't know why they let them choose to do that number. It was very bizarre. I love that show. It's supposed to be coming back.
It's a good show. It should come back.
Rob Ashford is at the helm. They announced last year. It's coming this year.
Has not had a revival. I think I could play Miss Mona.
It's on calendar saying October 15th of this year. I can't see that happening.
That's not going to happen.
But and then there's buzz about it next spring. I don't know. I know it's on people's minds. Rob, make it happen.
Okay. Well, good. There we have that. So speaking of Rob. We're going to talk to Native Austinite, but you know what? I hear that a lot, but I know a lot of Native Austinites.
Well, I think we found them recently because we didn't at first.
I did.
Well, I didn't. Well.
So you came here.
Everywhere.
Were you always in theater?
Yes. My mother and brother were dancers, so I've been around the stage my whole life. And then when I was 15, Rupert Reyes of Teatro Vivo found me. So that's where I
found
I've been.
You. He found me.
Where
did he find
you?
Under a rock?
On the corner?
No,
park?
I went to go see a performance, and I met the actors backstage, and they asked me to come audition. So I did two shows with them as an actor. Then I realized I was terrible at it, so I moved backstage.
Okay. Which shows?
Oh, my God. I don't remember the first one.
Okay.
I thought it was what you were directing.
My third show. Oh. Yeah, that was like my third show. And then I did Fantasmaville, which was written by Raul Garza. But I was actually backstage. That was my first role backstage.
Okay. And when you say backstage, what do you mean? Were you directing?
No, I was a stagehand. This is my first time directing a professional stage play.
How's that feel for you?
Yeah, how is
it's
that?
Different. My training is in film directing.
Oh.
So I keep wanting to say cut to everybody and say wait for makeup, wait for effects, but that's not happening. So I have to just let things play out. And, of course, you know, I'm also a film editor, and so for us speed is key for everything. But now I have to sit down and wait for myself to think, let the scene play out, let them have their conversation, let the pauses be there. And so the theater side of me says, that's great, that's gold. But the film side of me says, you need to kill yourself.
Yeah, it's a totally different
medium. Nothing
like
medium. Taking on two pieces at once for, you know, diving in from one world to the other.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing film?
I started in film my senior year of high school. We had a film program at my high school, and I was directing a web series from there. And then I moved on to college where I decided to study film directing and theater directing. And then my last 2 years of school, I got more involved and started a film festival, which I had a film in that I directed, as well as being heavily involved in everyone else's films. And now I freelance around town. So,
okay, so let's take this by the numbers. Where did you go to high school?
Crockett High School.
Crockett.
Yes,
Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier.
You got to do it the Mickey Katz way.
I don't know who Mickey Katz is.
The cool thing is nobody does that from Crockett. Like, nobody seems to know that song. But as soon as I leave town and they say, where did you go to high school? I say Crockett. That's the song that comes up.
Of course,
Mickey
it does.
Katz is,
so,
Joel
so the you made
Crockett, and then what?
I know. I'm just
high,
trying to. I'm trying to
school.
Stick with Rob here, and
college.
It's very, very difficult because my mind is a sieve.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we were asking about where he went to school, and then we got to high school and didn't get to.
And
college.
Then we had to sing Davy Crockett
because he had a film degree.
No, but you did a web series. That's what
yes.
I want to talk about. What's the name of the web series? And
Little
can we
Bastards.
Still find it?
You can still find it.
Little Bastards?
Dastards, then. Okay. We were in high school. We couldn't say Bastards, but we got around it.
D with a D?
With a D, like Dastardly.
Dastardly. So you did this in high school. And
yes.
So when you go back and look at it, do you still...
I don't
you're not too far away from high school now, I'm guessing.
5 years?
Okay.
Years. Yeah.
So you just graduated college.
I graduated Texas State University 2 weeks ago.
Oh yeah, you
Mazel
really
tov.
Did just graduate. Oh, wow, okay.
So we talked, you know, we learned on this show that between years it's like if you're going into your senior year, you're a rising senior, if you're going into junior year, it's rising junior. So you having just graduated, you're in a rising life.
Rising adult.
Mm-hmm. Rising life.
Rising real life.
So that's exciting. So you got a film degree at Texas State?
Yes.
And do you plan to pursue film? As a long-term goal?
Yes. A couple friends of mine who also are recent graduates, we decided to start a production company right out of high school.
Named
college,
what?
Blue Lens Productions.
Okay. Are your lenses blue?
My glasses are.
Okay.
That was about as
that
far
works.
As that joke went because we didn't actually have any kind of cover for the lens for our logo, but I just threw my glasses on our camera, and there we go. We have a logo.
There you go. So tell us about the film festival that you did.
Well, it started with me realizing that Texas State had two cameras, and that was about it as far as film equipment went. And I realized that a lot of it was that there were a lot of film advocates around the student body, but nobody really organizes all together. So I went to the chair of the department and said, this is what I want to do. We got some equipment to do one short film, and I decided that we can do seven in a semester easily. And so I gathered a meeting of all the people who had interest in filmmaking and said, we're going to put on a festival. You have 1 month to film it all and another month to edit it all, and we're going to put it on in May. And that was probably the most painful thing I'd ever done because everyone was calling me all hours of the day.
It's a lot of work. So you did the film festivals. Is it going to be a repeated event?
Yes. My stage manager for the show that I'm doing with Rupert is still a student at Texas State.
Uh-huh.
And she's taken the reins for Rising Star. That's what we call the festival.
I was about to ask you what the name of it. Well, that's awesome. I've never done any film work. Anybody?
I tried it and didn't like it, but...
You didn't like it. What didn't you like about it?
I don't like the...
You don't like them yelling, cut.
You know what it is? It to me, it was like, you're in this moment, you're having it, and then it's like, and I'm like, well, I'm trying to tell... As a stage person, you're used to getting the reaction and telling a story and being to finish, and I'm like, what do you mean redo it? Like, I don't know. That's me. I love films.
It's a whole different discipline. It's very interesting. One of the things that I say, when you walk into a theater on tech night, you can always, there's a focus to the room. You know where the focus is.
Right.
When you walk on a set, you can't tell where the focus is.
It's like a Mad Hatter
tea
party.
Highly organized, but you can't, as an outsider, mm-hmm. you can't tell.
Yeah.
And it's always it's nothing happening, nothing happening, nothing happening. And then chaos. And then the same, the nothing happening. So that's cool.
But I love films, and I get very excited about it.
What's the name of your latest film?
The last thing that I produced all the way through, I call An Evening at the Bingo Bango, which I also wrote.
It's a great name.
It is. Is it about bingo parlor?
Yes. It's about four friends who are flat broke and decide that the easiest way to get money is to rob a bingo hall.
That's what I do.
Yep.
So there's a lot of money in those bingo halls.
There was. We had, I want to say $300,000 was the money we said that they had in there. Not sure if that's true, but it's a movie.
Do you plan to stay in Austin?
I do. For the next 5-10 years, that's where I think I'm going to make my home.
Excellent. That's great. We're happy to have you here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Since you've been here for 22 years.
Since he's been here forever.
Kirk Kelso, you've been on this earth for 22 years.
I've been around here for about 22
you've been around.
Years.
I've been around as well, like a donut. What don't we know about Kirk Kelso that we want to know? We have had no time to talk to you, and you're such a... you're so important to the theater community here.
Oh, I'm so important.
You are.
I'm very important. I don't know.
How are you at a loss for words right now,
Mr. Kelso? I don't know. Where should I start? The beginning of theater?
Well, we spent some time. I'm sure we talked to you. We did where you're from. How'd you get into theater?
What did you do for school?
You also run a yoga business.
Yeah, I'm a personal trainer and a yoga instructor, and I have my own studio.
Correct. What's the name
of
it?
Kirk Works. KIRKWERKS.
I think you should also call it Kelso Kelslows.
Kelslows.
Kelso's
Kelslows? Kelso's Kelslows.
Yes.
Okay, and does it have a website?
Yes, it's the www.kirkworks.com.
Kirkworks.com. And I just got to go back over to Rob. We didn't even... Do you have a website or anything you want to?
We have a
plug.
Facebook page.
We can plug backstage. We're totally able to plug.
And you can tell people to go look at it.
You should go look at facebook.com/bluelensproductions. We actually just released a video that went viral, over 200,000 views in a weekend. So we're pretty proud about that.
I want to do that. Yeah. I want to do that.
Maybe that will happen with my audition for... when I post my audition on Facebook.
So you are currently doing Love, Valor, and Compassion. What's next for you?
What's this audition?
The next big thing, and it just made it. It can happen now. I can talk about it. I have been cast as Dr. Frank Infurter in Austin Theater Project's The Rocky Horror Show.
Wow. What
That's
theater
exciting.
Is that playing at?
It will be at the Ground Floor Theater starting around...
Excellent.
October 30th,
I believe it
we
is.
We did a trivia question for
it's
that.
Gonna
was that
be,
last week?
It's going to be the. It's going to open on Halloween weekend.
Yes.
Well, good. You're Frankenfurter. Well, you took the role away from me. By the way,
it was the boots.
It was the boots. What?
Were you fighting for it?
I was fighting for it. Although I refused to audition. I think people should just give me things.
Well, I agree with you on that one, Lisa.
Well, that's exciting. Are you excited about doing it?
I'm very excited.
Good. And I was going to say, this is your first time at Ground Floor Theater, but it's not.
It's not my first time there. I'm acquainted with the layout.
You're acquainted with the layout. And you, speaking of the first time you were there, you did a cabaret
one-man show
for Aid Services of Austin. And so we were talking about AIDS for the show.
Yeah.
Is that a passion of yours to do work that around HIV and AIDS?
Yes. It was very interesting how it all kind of came together this year with that being the recipient of most of the funds from that show,
right.
And then getting a chance to do Love, Valor, Compassion, which is the AIDS is the overriding cloud in the whole play. It's just not always referred to, but it's
right. It's just there.
It's there.
It's there.
And it's huge. And in that era of time, it was there. It was always there.
Yes.
You know, and certainly in the circles I ran with.
Yes, and I was able to, there's a lot of odd little tie-ins that I lost a partner to AIDS.
Right.
And his name was Gregory.
Mm-hmm.
My character's name is Gregory.
I was going to say, your character's name's Gregory.
And he died in 1995, which was the year that Love, Valor, Compassion won the Tony.
Wow.
Which I was like, it was very...
The karma of it all
really... Really
that's
together.
Great, and it's a great tribute to Gregory then as well. So it's
dedicating my performances to him and my best friend Joseph Rushing, and they are two people I talk about in my one man show as well. So it's kind of
Well, that's more than touching.
Yes,
and thank you for sharing that. And so you go straight from that to Frankenfurter.
Yeah.
I was just about to
and then another, now for something completely different. Which it's also kind of odd because David Blackburn and Barbara Schuller were my very first director and music director for The Fantastics, 5 years ago.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So which was the genesis and the beginning of
Austin Theater Project. So now it's kind of come all back around.
Well, and the interesting thing is, I mean, especially, and we didn't talk about it during the program, but Love, Valor, and Compassion, I'm assuming, you know, it's more of a serious role than, you know, usually you're cast in the wacky role.
I'm wacky, I'm a showboat.
You are a showboat.
I don't get any of that. And I'm kind of, I'm
how is
a
that
straight
for you
man, so to speak, in a very gay play.
No pun intended. How is that for you as an actor?
I prepared myself. I was like, I was a little nervous that I would get jealous and bored.
Oh, interesting.
Bored that because it is a very much a vehicle for Nathan Lane. So Rick Felkins gets all the laughs. He is the comic relief in the whole show, and I'm very plain. I have some dramatic moments, but no, nothing funny.
Yeah.
It's
good.
So
it stretches you as an actor.
It's a very big stretch for me, but I haven't. I love this role. I feel like I've grown a great deal as an actor, and I've gotten a lot of good feedback saying, wow, I've never seen this side of
different
you.
Different side of Kurt Kelso.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's good.
Excellent.
It's very, very good.
So, Dolores, have you always been a playwright?
It was... Not until my junior year in college that I discovered theater. Before that, I thought theater was dead.
the rumors of its demise were greatly exaggerated.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
So, I studied abroad in London, and London theater opened my eyes.
Dad, there's no theater in
there. There's no theater over there. What are you talking about?
Where did you study in London? What school?
So it's the University of Notre Dame has a University of Notre Dame in London sort of program. So I went, that's where I went to school, and I went to that. And it was Martin McDonagh's Pillow Man that I saw in the basement of the Cottesglow Theater.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, the basement of the National, which is the Cottesglow Theater. And that one really was like, okay, I need to do this immediately. So I went back to school in my senior year and sort of, begged my way through a bunch of theater courses, playwriting courses.
At Notre Dame?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have when you hear Notre Dame, you don't necessarily think theater. I don't, anyway.
I think that was one of the things that we're really trying to change. They had just brought in this this director and playwright, and I was right away sort of his assistant director and wrote a play. And as my senior kind of thesis, I sort of made this thing so that I could write this play. My senior
I love
year.
Things.
Yeah, I talked my way into that, so...
Well, that's awesome. So did you end up changing your major to theater?
No, because my major was English, so okay. It wasn't...
It still works.
It's not far off. It's, right. Drama. It's in the realm of the context of a lot of stuff in the same... I understand.
I'm changing my major to Joan.
To Joan. I think you did. A few
I'm
weeks
changing
ago
my major
out.
To sex with Joan. Okay, sorry. That's from Fun,
Fun Home.
Home.
I know. I said, I think you, never mind. Yeah, I know. I love it. I'm okay. In love with it too. I'm there with you, girl.
So are you from Indiana?
No, I'm from Laredo, Texas, on the border of
okay.
Texas.
Oh, right. You mentioned that earlier in the show. Wow. So Indiana must have been a completely,
it
Notre
was.
Dame isn't Indiana,
well,
no, isn't it?
No,
I'm
yeah.
right
Dame
about that.
Is,
okay.
It's also not kind of in the middle of. Nowhere.
It's I know. Not, it's in the middle so. Of Indiana,
it's,
isn't it?
It's an the closest city. I mean, it's a big city. An hour and a half away is Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But
I've heard of that city.
Have you heard of the Chicago?
Mm. I have.
We both lived there. Being a smarty pants. Yeah,
I bet you don't. I don't. I bet you don't know what the etymology of Chicago is. I will tell you this: the original pronunciation was Chicago.
French.
Potawatomi
it's
Indian.
It's Indian.
It means wild onion.
Oh, food,
yes. Yep. I think now that you're saying that, maybe I think I heard
I
that.
I learned that in a show I did.
Forgot.
So, did you get to Chicago often?
I do go to the Chicago often. I'm actually moving there.
You are.
Mazel tov.
Yes. So you got to tell me your Chicago.
And what are you going to do there? And
so I have a lot of buddies in Chicago because I went to school up there. Mm-hmm. So I'm fortunate in that way. And they've been meaning to get me up there forever. And every time
town.
I visit, they're like, so when are you moving here? And I've been enjoying the theater there and whatnot. I love Steppenwolf and whatnot. So
I do have a request.
Yes.
Take me with you.
Okay. Do you fit in a suitcase?
I do.
She will make herself.
I do.
Just like that little yoga man from that. It's incredible. That
into the box. I love Chicago. Are you going to do theater there? They've got a great theater community.
That's the plan.
Okay. It's a tough theater community. It's a very closed community. So, but if you have friends that are there and are doing that, then you've got a little in.
So it's a little concerning then because I do not have friends in the theater. Yeah. I have friends that are just hanging out, being awesome.
It is a totally doable community to get into. It's just a pretty tight knit community, and you're just going to have to
perseverance.
You're going to have to work hard. It's different from a New York. It's actually very similar to Austin in a way, except it's more cohesive than Austin.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like New York in that there is no theater community. I mean, so you're okay coming in as nobody, but you get to know people.
But it is a really great community.
It's a great community,
really
great town.
Is.
Do you have a place to live already?
No, not exactly.
Okay. Not exactly. That sounds like a story.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
When are you making this move?
Like right after the play goes up. So like next week
or the week after.
You'll get like about 3 days of nice weather.
No, you're gonna get 2 months of nice weather. This
right.
is a great.
It turns winter.
It's a great time to be in Chicago. Fall is beautiful there.
I like summer better than the fall. There.
Well, me too. Most people do. Chicago is a great summer town.
Chicago is one of the greatest. Places in the summer.
Yep.
Yes, that's
there
true.
Is so much.
You'll
to
get
do.
Some hot Italian beefs.
Oh my god.
Yummy. Yeah. Well, that's exciting. We're excited for you, and
thanks.
We're excited that Chicago will get you. Are you? Do you perform as well as write?
You know, I don't really act, but I wrote this one woman show that is autobiographical. So
interesting.
I think I have to act that one. I haven't figured that one out yet.
Well, you don't have to, but it sounds like you want to.
Mm-hmm. I actually don't know if I do, but I just can't imagine giving it to seeing somebody else perform it. Mm-hmm. So how you know
you're attached to it.
Well, I just don't know. Like, do you like? That's not what I mean. You know, I mean, yeah, that one's much more. If somebody like, there's no. I don't want people to interpret it. Oh, I actually. Want to interpret it this way. Like, no, I'm usually really good at not holding on to scripts, which makes me, I think, a good playwright. I'm not that kind of person who wants to hold on to
right.
it. But that piece seems so
personal
that mm-hmm. I might want to hold on to that one more.
Well, that is awesome. I am so happy that you guys joined us backstage
yes,
here.
Yes, this was a good one fun. Today.
This is a good one. And the one thing I will tell you about your trip to Chicago and for all of you, you'll be fine and dandy. Lord, it's like a hard candy Christmas. I'm barely getting through tomorrow till I can't let sorrow bring me way down. See you guys later. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.